Good morning, if it is morning. This is Sven Gulli, and you're listening to Too Much Scrolling.
For August 9th, 2022, I'm Steve Fodor.
I'm the artist formerly known as COVID Chip.
We're just a couple of guys sitting around talking about things that are important to us. Hopefully they're important to you. If you need more information, there's so many great ways to find more information. Formerly COVID Chip, congratulations coming out of the other side and being you and President Biden both coming out of COVID at the same time. I'm glad that you're feeling better.
We have so much in common. And, you know, and I'm negative.
Well, I've been saying for the entire pandemic, think positive, stay negative.
Film at 11.
Brings us to our film at 11, our movie of the week. Hey, Chip, did you go to the movie theater and see a movie this week?
I did not, Steve. I was still in quarantine up until a few days ago.
So you got to see a movie that just came out, available on Apple TV Plus. This is the movie Luck, John Lasseter's first post-Pixar movie.
Post-Pixar. It sounds like a tongue twister, Steve.
Yes. It also sounds like a great breakfast cereal. Post-Pixar.
Already thinking of marketing. So Luck is the a film that certainly would fall in the tradition of a Pixar film, at least on how it's presented. The bad parts about it is the animation is not quite up to Pixar level. We really have gotten to the point where we expect so much from our movies. In addition to that, the story is not yet refined. I have a feeling if this was a Pixar film, it still would be in production for maybe another year as they tightened up the script a little bit. This is a story that addresses a number of things. One, the backdrop of it is adoption and about children aging out of the adoption process and sort of not having their stable environment. Because, you know, we all, particularly young people, but we all benefit from living in a place that's stable and full of love and allows us to grow. And if you're a young person who is going through an adoption process or, you know, group home type of situation, you know, 1 year you're here and 1 month you're somewhere else and you never really can find that anchor and sort of how it impacts how you view life. This is a person who feels that they're unlucky and how that kind of plays out. In this world, there is a lucky world and an unlucky world. We're going to go explore it. Ultimately, I do think this is a story about encouragement, about being the mentors around you, basically providing that that stability that many people don't have. I mean, Steve, you're a teacher, and every time the bell rings and a new class comes in, you've got 25 kids and you don't know what they're carrying from home, whatever that thing is. You know, somebody is sick, somebody is not living in a stable home environment, somebody is food insecure, someone won the lottery. I mean, it could be any number of things, good things or bad things.
Mm-hmm.
And ultimately, this is a story about recognizing that failure is part of life. It's part of the trying process. And also getting up and kind of rising is also part of the growing process. I like this film. I don't think this is a great film. I say 55 out of 100. And if you were a person and you have access to Apple TV Plus, I think that you would enjoy this.
And that's the part that really gets me is the Apple TV Plus. They are certainly trying. They're getting these big names. They're getting John Lasseter. They're getting Oprah Winfrey and putting together good material, but it's not great. It's not amazing material that is drawing people to the Apple TV Plus.
Well, recognize how high our standards are.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you compare Locke to a film that came out in the 1980s, you certainly would say, wow, this is really, really skilled. But when we were comparing to the best of the best, I mean, it just, you recognize how high our standards are.
Mm-hmm. Very good. I saw one of the pinnacle Pixar movies this week. I saw Lightyear on Disney Plus. It came out on Disney Plus this week, and everybody was really excited because they did not go see this movie in the theaters.
Yeah, and this film was considered a bomb, something that didn't perform well at the theater. So tell me a little bit about what you thought of this film.
It's a really interesting twist on the concept of the prequel. It has in it all of those beats from Toy Story from 1995 that we wanted, but it's really a matured kind of concept film. It has those themes of loss, like we saw in the movie Up in 2009. It's got a very, 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 very similar sequence of aging, just like we saw in that movie, a very touching moment where the mature people in the audience might recognize how aging works in our lives. It's presented as an action-adventure movie that the character Andy was obsessed with in 1995. You might remember in Toy Story, Andy loved Buzz Lightyear because of this movie. And this film, Lightyear, is presented as that movie that Andy saw in 1995. His childish interpretation of the action is represented in the story that we understood back when Toy Story came out. This is the movie that we're watching now, and it's way more message-driven than any action movie of 1995.
So, I mean, obviously it's a Pixar film. Is it consistent with it? Is it good?
I enjoyed this movie very much. I think that the technology has improved significantly from 1995 Toy Story, but the storytelling is still center stage here. That was one of the things that I loved the most about Toy Story, was they were going to tell a story and have this amazing technology in order to help with that storytelling. Lightyear gives us that same idea. The technology, the pictures are beautiful, but they really go to second place after the story. The thing about this prequel is it's not for kids. It's not for the kids of 2022 as much as it's for the adults who were kids in 1995. Andy didn't get some of the messages from this movie when he saw it in 1995. It's all about teamwork and listening. There's so much in this about caring about what other people think and thinking about what's the best thing to do in the situation. What Andy really heard in the message of this movie was Buzz Lightyear, Space Ranger. He wanted to be the center of the action and to be the lone hero who can save the day. That's not the story of Lightyear. The story of Lightyear is Buzz Lightyear needs a team. He needs to listen to everybody else who knows what they're talking about to save all of the people who are stranded on this planet.
So one of the things you said here was that this wasn't aimed at young people, which is very interesting because Pixar films are aimed at all ages. And it did not perform well mm-hmm. when it was released to the movie theater. So did they miss their audience?
I think they did miss their audience on this one. I think that the middle-aged people that remember fondly that story of Toy Story got the message of this movie 27 years later. But I think that the kids would be interested in the pictures, that the technology is amazing. And of course, they would love the adorable AI cat in this movie. But the fact that they had to add an adorable AI cat and that was never mentioned in 1995 is something to think about, because Andy, the kid in 1995, would have wanted the robot cat as a toy, not the Buzz Lightyear.
Oh, interesting. Mm-hmm. Interesting. So it didn't perform well at the theater, but it is on Disney Plus. Do you think it's going to pick up steam here?
I think it is, but we won't really know that because we don't know any of the statistics about viewing on Disney Plus. But I think a lot of people are excited to see this. When I posted it on social media on Wednesday, I had quite a few responses that, oh, I'm going to watch that over the weekend. So I hope everybody got a chance to watch that one. I also went a little bit into the past and watched the new episode of Beavis and Butthead that premiered on Paramount Plus this week.
So is Beavis and Butthead, is it going to be released as a weekly show?
It is, which is a very, very interesting concept. Why they would release a stupid, very slapstick comedy cartoon on a weekly basis is beyond me. I'm not a marketing genius, apparently, but I think that they should just dump these episodes for us to consume because I wanted more after watching the first episode this week.
You know, the idea is to keep you as a Paramount Plus subscriber.
Correct.
And I want to say that when Beavis and Butthead was originally airing on MTV, it was released weekly.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So we're still in a mushy middle between that weekly show and a Netflix style giving you a full season. And Mike Judge has decided that Beavis and Butthead should remain a weekly show. The first episode is available for free on YouTube. They put the whole first episode on YouTube for you, so you don't have to pay for Paramount Plus. But going forward, I am going to watch these Beavis and Butthead episodes. But honestly, I don't know that this needed to be, because season 9 is so similar to the antics of the 90s. These kids have not matured. These kids are still immature idiots trying to live in our world, and a little bit of that careful thoughtfulness of 2022 is in there, but they're the same idiots of 1990. I think we could have been just happy with the 200 episodes that are on Paramount Plus. I don't know that they needed to produce more, but I'll be watching.
Oh, how wonderful.
There's some movies opening this week. There's plenty of movies, a long list of movies opening this week. The first one is Lal Singh Chadha. This is amazing. This is an official remake of the 1994 American film Forrest Gump.
It's not only an official remake, Steve, it's in an Indian language.
It's an Indian remake. This is stunning to me that a property like Forrest Gump gets an official remake in another country.
Well, life won't be like a box of chocolates, Steve. It'll be like something else.
They have chocolates. Chocolates are very, very much a part of the Indian culture. I look forward to seeing this.
You did watch the trailer, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he's using a different type of food.
Okay.
To tell the same story.
Okay. I look forward to seeing this. I look forward to thinking about the differences that exist on our planet, all the different cultures and the cultural identity of Forrest Gump versus Lal Singh Chadha.
What is interesting is you're going to be able to see it at the theater. If you have an AMC theater near you, many of them have a large body of Indian films.
Mm-hmm.
So Bollywood type of films. This is not Bollywood, but anyway, this is a film that if you wanted to see it, you certainly could.
Okay. There's a movie coming out called Fall. It's being released right before the fall of 2022. It's not about the weather, though.
It isn't. I don't know, for the last 10 or 20 years, there's been thoughts of building something from Earth, basically almost an elevator, to take it all the way up into space.
Mm-hmm.
And that's elevator how, instead of shooting a rocket up.
Mm-hmm.
And this looks like it's something like that. There is this massive tower, and I don't know, some friends are going to climb it and then fall.
That sounds terrible. That sounds like a terrible story. I am so fearful of falling. The idea of watching a movie where these two young ladies are at the top of a 2,000-foot-tall radio tower and threatening gravity as the law, no thank you. There are three movies coming out this week that are very, very, very similar. A lot of normal, regular people getting mixed up into the criminal underbelly of our country.
So let's just name them real quickly. There's No Way Out, Collide, and Emily the Criminal.
Mm-hmm. Very similar stories where drugs and criminal elements collide with normal, regular people, and they have to find their way out. We've got a body-switching movie. Mac and Rita, 30-year-old writer, spends a wild weekend in Palm Springs and wakes up. She's magically transformed into her 70-year-old self, played by Diane Keaton.
There's going to be a big audience for this, Steve.
There's a lot of people that will want to watch a 70-year-old Diane Keaton acting like a 30-year-old. I look forward to hearing my mother telling me about Mac and Rita.
Well, it's going to be a Freaky Friday.
I love those stories. I love the identity crises that come up in Freaky Friday and movies like that. Do you remember the George Burns one where the... George Burns and his grandson switch identities and George Burns get to pretend he's a teenager. Brilliant, brilliant storytelling.
Well, see, that's not the only grouping of films that's coming out this week. We've got a whole group of like teenage films.
Yeah, we've got films aimed directly at my students at the middle school and maybe a little bit into the high school students. Going back to school this week with a bunch of movies aimed directly at them. The first one's called Girl Picture. This is a film about experiences. A Finnish director is telling her coming of age story with three friends on the cusp of womanhood, trying to find their own way, trying to find their place.
Did you say Finnish director, Steve?
Yes. Finland.
You know what happens at the end of the film? It's done.
That's why it's Finnish. It's the country for me. It's so near to Russia. So far from Japan. Quite a long way from Cairo. Sorry. That's all I know about Finland. It's the country for me. There's a movie called Summering. This is four girls finding out about growing up on a mysterious adventure in the summer. Right here on the tail end of the summer, telling our summer story.
And for all of our Indiana listeners, we've got a musical for you.
Yeah, 13, the musical, which was on Broadway, is now a movie. It's about a young man who is living his life in New York City and is then, as a part of his parents' divorce, moved to Indiana, where he has to put together his bar mitzvah for his 13th birthday in a new place in Indiana. Music.
It sounds riveting. Steve.
I think that I would watch this. My 13-year-olds in school certainly are going through similar situations, and movies like this certainly help with that, what the trailer for this calls a kid life crisis, where it at 13, there's a lot of changes, my friend.
And moving is one of them. Mm-hmm. Hey, Steve, there's a superhero one, too, for children.
Yeah, this is not Spy Kids 2022, but boy, oh boy, does it look like Spy Kids 2022. It's called Secret Headquarters. A kid finds out that his father is actually a powerful superhero, and villains come and attack, and they have to defend their headquarters and save the world.
Well, thank goodness for Jamie Foxx, Steve.
Yeah, I'm kind of excited about this. There's a new movie called Day Shift, where Jamie Foxx is a vampire hunter in the daytime. And it, boy, oh boy, I tell you what, this looks a lot like The Evil Dead, a lot like a gun-toting hero coming to save the day from monsters.
But this is not Wesley Snipes, and it's not Blade.
I agree. There is certainly a difference between Blade and Evil Dead, and I see more Evil Dead in this. And of course, we've got Snoop Dogg as the sidekick.
All right, of course. Steve, we've got a documentary coming out.
Yeah, it's called Back to the Drive-In. This is all about what happened in 2020 when the pandemic hit and a lot of people went back to their local drive-ins to watch movies because that was the only way to see movies.
Well, it's not just about that. It's they abandoned these drive-ins after the pandemic lifted. So let's make sure we're clear on this, Steve. There's something called glamping. You grab that minivan, you grab all those fancy speakers you got, You grab that fancy sleeping bag and all that other stuff. I don't know what people would do in a movie theater, Steve, but they probably could have some good times.
Yeah, we went to the drive-in during the pandemic twice. Once to see The Evil Dead because Bruce Campbell was in town, and then the other time to see Star Wars. And we grabbed all our friends and we went to the drive-in because that's what we were able to do in the midst of that pandemic. The idea then that what has the drive-in been able to do since the pandemic is questioned in this documentary, because I haven't gone back to the drive-in since we can go back to the movie theater since the pandemic is over. So where is the business model for those people going forward? That's a big question for them for sure.
Steve, you've got something that looks like it's for you.
Yes, there's a movie for Steve this week. This week's movie for Steve is The Mads Are Back are presenting The Battle of the Worlds. This is described by Frank as a really bad movie. A snooze fest is the way the text puts it. It's a movie from 1961. We've got the Mystery Science Theater 3000 stars Trace Beaulieu and Frank Conniff are going to riff on this movie live with a Q&A at the end with a very special guest, TBA. I don't know what TBA has been doing lately, but I'll tell you what, TBA is like six of the teachers at my school right now because there's a huge teacher shortage.
Well, it's not TCB.
Elvis has left the building.
Book it. Book it.
Brings us to our book it, our book of the week. Hey, Chip, have you been traveling and reading this week?
I have been reading, Steve.
You brought to us a book called Shoeless Joe by W.P. Kinsella this week. This was written in 1999. Tell us all about Shoeless Joe.
Steve, the first thing you know is if all of a sudden a voice comes in your head that tells you to build an ark, you build the ark. You don't question it. All your friends make fun of you, but you go and do it.
What's a cubit?
Right, and then go get a bunch of animals and throw it on your cube. Yeah, throw it in your ark, and then you're going to be fine. Hey, Steve, a voice came in this man's head. A voice came in this man's head that convinced him to build a baseball field, well, at least the right field, out in Iowa. Mm-hmm. And then Shoeless Joe arrives. So Shoeless Joe plays the part of George Burns, right? He's God.
There's a reference for you kids. Look that up. George Burns played God in a series of very silly movies, giving a message to John Denver, of all people.
So this has been one of the novels that was ranked as one of the 100 greatest sports books by Sports Illustrated. And I absolutely get it because it's a joyful read. It's not a heavy read, but there's a lot of philosophy in it and a lot about living the life and living your version of life.
Hmm.
So we've got our character, Ray Kinsella, who received a voice that told him to, you know, build it and they will come,
mm-hmm.
interestingly enough. And then is convinced by a voice, you must save him. So he takes his Datsun and drives to Boston to talk to a writer that doesn't like him, that has been trying to become a hermit, and convinces him to go to see the Twins play the Boston Red Sox. While at the ball game, there is another voice that comes that says, go the distance. My goodness, all of a sudden you've got these strange things coming in your head, and you go and do them. The next thing they do is they head off to Minnesota to grab some doctor who, by the way, is a real character, a real person from Fayetteville, North Carolina, which I consider my hometown.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, oh, I know that place. Anyway, he was a baseball player who played in one game. In real life, he played in a few weeks, but for our book, he played in one game,
mm-hmm.
and then became a medical doctor and lived up on the Minnesota-Canadian border. So they go and they pick him up. They have all these spiritual type of situations, ghostly type things happening. And, you know, they're going to go back and they're going to save the farm. You know, that's what's going to happen. If so, they, and this sounds like it would make a great film, Steve.
Yeah, it sounds really familiar, Chip. It sounds like this is maybe something that most of us have seen over the years.
What is also very interesting about this story is about not just his love for baseball and, you know, these strange voices that come into his head to tell him to do stuff, but there's a lot of talk about the White Sox and a lot of talk about the Chicago Cubs and a lot of talk about the Minnesota Twins. And, you know, there's just a lot of, now we understand why the White Sox are going to play in Field of Dreams. In fact, Steve, this voice must have come into my head and told me to read this book, because the Field of Dreams game in Dyersville, Iowa, is going to be on August 11th this year.
It's coming up just on
the
Thursday.
Reds are going to play the Cubs.
How about that? How about that? The idea of the Field of Dreams actually existing in Iowa, the fact that somebody decided that this story, Field of Dreams, is so important that they actually made this field happen in the middle of a cornfield, and that the actual players from actual Major League Baseball are going there to play ball, is pretty special.
One of my favorite moments in this book, more than once, you know, you've got this guy who's told to build an He wasn't a farmer. He was a failing farmer. But he had this voice that said, hey, build a baseball field. So he starts building out a field. And his wife's like, you know, if it makes you happy, honey, go do it.
Mm-hmm.
The idea of allowing a person to do something as a hobby that's just kind of for the fun of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it wasn't going to make their life better, but it was going to make the husband better. And she said, you know, if you need this, go do it.
And doesn't that then make your life better? Don't you find that having that drive to do something, even if it's crazy, even if it doesn't make sense, having that goal makes your life better?
Well, it's not just that part. It's allowing your spouse the freedom to explore.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you didn't get married to someone and become a static person. A lot of people get in their 30s and they just start feeling like they've lost themselves.
Hmm.
Well, that rediscovery that you're a human and that you have desires and things that you want to explore is wonderful, because for him, it was his love of baseball allowed him to, you know, hear a voice that told him to build a baseball field. And the ending is that people just start showing up. They show up, they drop $20. He needed money to keep the farm. This sounds like an 80s film, doesn't it? It sounds like, you know, if we just do a dance off, we can save we can save the rec center. Steve, if they just put a baseball field in a cornfield in Iowa,
mm-hmm.
you know, it'll save the farm.
Yeah.
But one of the questions that's posed towards the end of it is, because I'm wondering if there's other Field of Dreams out there. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that, are there other places where people have heard voices to do something, you know, maybe out of the ordinary, put a studio on maybe, create a concert
together
hall.
Some sort of project like this. I think back to those drive-ins that we talked about in the movie segment this week. The idea of owning a drive-in seems like a crazy idea, but it's been an idea that I've had. Like, what if I owned a small movie theater? What if I was able to show those movies that I wanted people to see? Could we, as a community, grow something special?
Well, isn't that where the Alamo Draft House came to be?
Mm-hmm.
Where it's kind of an art house. So, you know, think about like the Hippodrome down in Gainesville, Florida, where I watched a film earlier this year,
mm-hmm.
where a group of people decided they wanted to make an art theater. It could be anything that becomes a passion. My initial thought when seeing the drive-in trailer was, it's an outdoor experience, right? When you go to go and watch a movie mm-hmm. in an outdoor theater. Well, you know, why wouldn't you put, you know, why couldn't you put like putt-putt around where, you know, miniature golf or some other type of jarts, you know, jarts or cornhole or any of the other things that could be on ESPN, the Ocho.
Mm-hmm. You can make it an event space for sure.
So for this gentleman who was driven, in fact, that's the story, was the connection that he was given from some higher power, mm-hmm. this idea of building a baseball field to go save a rider, to go allow a person to re-experience their youth as a baseball player, to ultimately recognize that their secondary life, when he became the doctor, was also equally or even more meaningful to him than the baseball experience. But the love of baseball becomes part of something that allowed them to experience it. It's kind of woven throughout the story. This is a lovely, lovely, if you were on a car ride and you wanted to listen to a book on tape mm-hmm. or a recorded book, great, great book to do this. If you are a person who is, you know, at the beach and wants a beach read, this is a great book to read. And obviously it made a great film.
Mm-hmm.
So I certainly recommend this book. This was a lot of fun. There's a lot of little connections to it. Shoeless Joe is from South Carolina. You get some background on the history of the Black Sox and what it really meant and how it really destroyed Shoeless Joe. You also get you know, a lot of baseball history, but really, ultimately, you know, it is an American story. What mm-hmm. can you say?
It's quintessentially American. This is such an American story of being driven by some force to get something accomplished. Even the accomplishment is different from the original plan. The accomplishment is the community that he built. The idea that they will come. If you build it, they will come. And they are going to this field in Iowa for a baseball game this week.
And Steve, for you, there's time travel. What can I say? Or time vortex.
Thank you. Thank you for pointing out there's something other than going outside in this book for me. I think that this is wonderful. It's a great time to be alive in America. The idea of going to baseball, being a part of that community, there's so many people that are enjoying that. The football community had their beginning of their season with the Hall of Fame game last week. And this week we've got the Field of Dreams game for the baseball community. Boy, there's a lot of joy in these events. So that's Shoeless Joe by W.P. Kinsella, published in 1999.
Scroll with it.
Brings us to our scroll with it. There's some things happening this week, Chip.
If you're up in Berwyn, Illinois, it seems like it's an all Steve day.
Berwyn. It's not a Steve day for sure. It is Sven Gulli day in Berwyn today. If you're in the area, I really recommend you join us at Serenity Park in Berwyn today from 1:30 to 3:30 in the afternoon. If you dress up as Sven Gulli, there's going to be hundreds of Sven Gullis walking around. They're filming a documentary about our favorite local horror hosts today.
There must be some kind of celebration of his life going on because, you know, when we were at Fan Expo, we had a nice conversation with Bill Morrison, who was an artist who was being commissioned to paint this wonderful painting celebrating the life of Sven Gulli.
And our friend Sarah from Texas is in town for this event. She is one of the biggest fans of Sven Gulli. She was walking around C2E2 in her Sven Gulli costume, being interviewed by every camera crew that was there. Interesting news coming out of Warner Brothers this week. HBO Max and Discovery Plus are merging next year, and Warner Brothers has canceled a bunch of film projects, including Batgirl. That was the big headline this week.
What's happened with AT&T when they purchased DirecTV and HBO and Warner Brothers, Time Warner? They took on a tremendous amount of debt. This is about riding the ship for them. They spun off Warner Brothers, and the new CEO is having to make some tough decisions.
Yeah. We'll see what HBO Max and Discovery look like at the end of these tough decisions, because there's fans of both, and I don't know that they overlap. Today is the last Tuesday of the summer, Chip. I'm declaring the summer over. Next Tuesday, August 16th, is the first day of school for me. So this is the last summer episode of Too Much Scrolling. How about that?
Well, summer still goes on, Steve. But you know, you're going to be in school school level.
Yes, summer will go on without me. Go on without me. Don't try to carry me with you. School is starting. I'm so excited to be back in school to see all of that community of people, all of the people coming together to help our society grow and to make our kids a little bit smarter. I look forward to school starting. I hope everybody is looking forward to the start of school. There's going to be some challenges. There's certainly some pandemic questions that still have to be answered about school this year, but I look forward to getting back to that.
This may be the first year that young people have that's a real, you know, a real school year in 3 years.
And the transition from what school was to what school is certainly a top of mind for the teachers and staff right now. We are certainly trying to get as much of that community as we can back to school to really encourage our students to understand what we're doing there. I don't know, Chip. I think we have enough information to survive another week. What do you think?
Only if we can come back next week, Steve.
There you go. I think that we can. I think we'll be fine. You'll hear a difference in my voice next week when I come home from school and we do a show. We would love to hear from you. How's your summer going? How is your fall shaping up? Give us a call or a text. Our phone number is 805-4104-TMS. Our website is toomuchscrolling.com. Our email is toomuchscrolling@gmail.com. We're on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook. We're on Spotify and Apple Podcasts and YouTube. And you can always ask your smart speaker to play the latest episode of Too Much Scrolling. I want to thank you again for listening to Too Much Scrolling. I'm Steve Fodor.
I'm the artist formerly known as Kevin Chuck.
We'll see you in the future. What I want to talk about, what I want to thank you for, what I want to